What's up, savages? Terrence Pop here with another episode of Live from the Lair. Unfortunately, Blake is doing his thing, and he doesn't really work on Fridays anyway, just Tuesdays and Thursdays. So we have Jimmy helping us out today. And today we are going to be covering the absolute shit show that is the U.S. military. Now, before we get started, yesterday after the stream ended, I got an email from a master sergeant who is in the Sergeant Major Academy. And, you know, they make you write like thesis level reports and crap. So he's working, it's the equivalent of a thesis on, you know, military suicide. And, you know, and he asked me for a bunch of stats. And, you know, I gave him all the studies I use. I sent him some of the videos that I gave, like the talk in Vegas and Purple Heart's Final Beat, which was the first video that started me down this path. And the military is not going to be able to stop this suicide bullshit unless they're willing to go after the core causes, which is divorce and toxic leadership within the ranks. All right. Now, I've said this before, and I started saying this like back in the, you know, 1988, 89. All right. All branches of the service have a JAG. All right. And they're basically a bunch of attorneys that, for the most part, they help the chain of command, you know, put the screws on the EMs. And it's like a 6-to-1 ratio. There's six lawyers that are for prosecuting, and there's like one lawyer for defense. I mean, it's so lopsided. All right. Now, the military has a lot of very sensitive jobs, and some of those jobs require very extensive training and resources and what have you just to get the person in the door to do the job. By the time I walked for my Green Beret, I had already gone to infantry school, airborne school, RIP, which stood for Ranger Indoctrination Program, Ranger School, a couple other sniper schools in the from the battalion, and then I went to the Q course, and after that, you know, there's Sephardic, and then you got to do SEER, and then there's some language training. So by the time I get to a team, the experience and the training is it's countless tax dollars and resources. And, you know, and there's all, listen, there's hundreds of guys I know who are green beanies who got married to gutter sluts and literally got out of the service because they got screwed over in a divorce and they want to chase their kids. Now, you would think in today's day and age, especially when they can't meet the recruiting goals, and they have all of these critical shortages for necessary jobs like fighter pilot, helicopter pilot, special operations, and whatnot, you would think that, you know, a logical, I don't know, outcome would be, hey, how about we use our JAG to defend these guys so they don't get screwed over in divorce court? And maybe we could keep them in the service and save money and time so we don't have to retrain another guy and then have him start from scratch. It takes like 4 to 6 years just to get the experience necessary to drop a packet for the green beanie. Yes, some people come off the street. They're very few and far between. Most of them, they are nothing but wind dummies for the 82nd. They just don't know it yet. All right, now we're going to read some articles here. I'm sorry I went on a tirade here, but you know, this particular subject really chafes my ass. So I'm just going to start pouring some whiskey now. So
that'd be a good idea. But I think we'll start from the beginning here. Didn't have anything pulled up for the suicide rates for the soldiers and whatnot, but were the recruiters and the recruitment, bringing in the new bloods and whatnot. Well, Military recruiting crisis and Gen Z. Students discuss enlisting and serving in the armed forces. Should be a good thing. A new kind of soldier. The decline in physical and mental health among young adults has made many ineligible for military service is worrisome, but it may not be as grave as national security concern. This is because the methods of killing terrorists and thwarting attacks now rely more on technology than manpower.
That is a big mistake. That's a big mistake.
Yep. Because you kind of need recruits and manpower to make that technology.
Well, there's that. And listen, if it needs batteries, when you need it most, it will fail. That's why I always used iron sights. I got up to speed on all of the basic stuff because there's no substitute for that. There's no substitute for being able to fire maneuver and pick proper cover and be able to, you know, handle yourself on a battlefield. If you think you're going to fly over with drones and win the conflict, it doesn't happen. You got to have people on the ground. That's just the way it works. All right.
If you're Joe Biden, you're going to think, oh, well, you can't take over the government. You need F-16s, the nukes and tanks. Come on, man. Well, you can't really occupy urban areas with those kind of things.
Well, here's the thing. I have literally done nothing with my life since the age of 13 than prepare, study, and execute war. Started off with martial arts, and then I went in the military and built my skills from there, and I saw war from every angle possible. And quite literally, I would consider myself well-versed in all forms of conventional and unconventional warfare, asymmetrical warfare, psychological warfare, and the number on the board behind me, the 527 life saves, well, that speaks to me being able to wage war in the spiritual realm as well. Now, I'm not going to get all, you know, God hockey on you and try to do a slap shot into your face to have you rocking Jesus, because quite frankly, he and I are not on speaking terms right now, but that's okay. All right. So keep going.
Yeah, the 2011 killing of Osama bin Laden required two helicopters containing two dozen Navy SEALs. In 2020, the U.S. killed Qasem Soleimani, Iran's second most powerful leader, with a drone and remote control. The role of technology in the military is evolving, and it's hard to imagine that these types of operations will require putting U.S. troops on the ground in another 8 years. More concerning is the lack of technical talent that America is producing compared with China and Russia. We should be most concerned with the percentages of students who are proficient in math, science, and cybersecurity.
I can't argue with that. Our schools have been basically teaching to the lowest level, and we're seeing that now with the amount of zombie idiots in these blue cities and states.
Yep. One of the best ways to address this is to spend more on ROTC programs, which produce technical talent and military-level discipline. Wish I had known about it when I began college, and more effort should be put into advertising it. America spends more on its military than the next 10 highest-spending countries combined, and there is no reason we can't make a serious effort to expand programs like that. Is Peter Iosa, Pennsylvania State University, out of physics.
All right, hang on. All right. Okay, I've had, in my career, on several occasions, I have been an ROTC instructor, or I've given, blocks of instruction to cadets. And I'm going to tell you right now, they are just flat-up nug idiots. And you literally see why, the officers that we have in our armed forces, for the most part, are worthless, incompetent, toxic sons of bitches. They literally, it starts in the very beginning, and it just grows and grows and grows until literally they're incompetent, but yet they still get promoted. It amazed me. I saw it dozens of times. It is disgusting.
Yeah. All right. Let's see.
I'm going off in the weeds too much, man, because it's really pissing me off. Ah!
Drink your whiskey, man. You'll be all right. Lost financial incentives. The military serves an important role in economic mobility for the working class. This often drives recruitment. I have peers who have been able to attend college only because of the GI Bill and other associated benefits, which have exempted them from a continuously spiraling college debt crisis. Public support for college debt relief and other similar measures have damaged this enlistment incentive. As the social safety nets expands, the military will have to find other means of incitement to potential recruits.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. The decision to enlist is also influenced by public sentiment, especially among Gen Z, the target demographic for recruiters. I have heard countless times that enlisting in the military is a trap. It's a trap. Those who serve can fall behind in the earnings curve compared with peers with certain college degrees. With the loss of old-fashioned American patriotism and meager financial incentives, it's no wonder that Gen Z isn't interested in the military. That is Trey Livian, University of Berkeley, economics.
Okay, and we should be listening to University of Berkeley, the communist central of...
We'll totally listen to their professors and all that.
They can suck all the dicks.
And all of them. Gen Z blindness problem. The convergence of anti-American sentiment and falling of physical health standards has accumulated in 80% of 18 to 24-year-olds being deemed unfit to serve, which has deepened the recruitment-retirement ratio.
Yeah, and listen, I watched the quality of the recruits that came into the Army over a 33-year period, and it's night and day. Like in the mid-80s, you were getting some serious, you know, studs to enlist. They were squared away. You didn't have a lot of problems with, like, things getting hurt or broken on the regular. It did happen. But as time progressed, I literally had guys, you know, I had one guy get a hairline fracture in his hip from road marching. I had another guy break both his feet running a 5 mile. One dude pulled his arm out of socket doing the obstacle course. Guys who literally could climb up halfway up the rope and they lost physical strength and fell. You didn't see that in the 90s. You didn't really start seeing it until about, I'd say about 2005-ish, when it's really started getting out of hand.
The idea of serving our country means working as an activist, spearheading campaigns, and firing verbal warning shots at anyone who dares to disagree. Sounds familiar.
Yep.
This generation is blinded by rose-colored glasses, refusing to accept reality until it's too late. We must pull our heads out of our smartphones and examine such necessary changes as depolarizing politics and instilling national pride. Good luck with one certain side, because they are lost, if you ask me.
Yep.
He says, if needed, I would volunteer to protect my country. Americans take freedom for granted and assume that it will always be protected. But if we don't teach this generation that their freedom can be taken away, the country is in jeopardy. Well,
we're already there.
It's our own government taking away our freedoms.
Correct.
Of course, we have the politicization of everything. According to the National Defense Survey, 62% of Americans believe military leadership has become overly politicized and decreased their confidence in the armed forces.
Yeah.
Almost 60% say it's due to lack of presidential competence.
I would say the presidential incompetence, and then all of those layers of bureaucracy of all of these useless generals that just come up with these crazy policies. Yeah. Quite frankly, in my opinion, most of them are just completely worthless.
Like a Milley and his, the biggest threat to this national security is white rage.
Yeah, get the hell out of here.
That guy can smurf my balls. to combat this, the military must rescind its political posturing and affirm its core values, protecting American freedoms, not designing them. Lost confidence in American institutions through this politicization should be deeply concerning. 4 out of 5 young adults in the U.S. aren't fit to serve due to being overweight, using drugs, or not meeting other military's physical and mental standards. But it's even more concerning that healthy people don't want to join. Why would you want to?
Well, the thing is, like right now, they're whining and complaining that veterans are keeping their children from going in the service. All right. Now, what they fail to mention is ever since this military went to 100% volunteer, a lion's share of the recruits came from, you know, other individuals who served. But now they're seeing just how screwed up it is, all of this woke mind virus bull crap. And they're like, no, if you don't have to enlist, don't do it. It's absolutely insane, especially when they had the vax mandates and they were treating a volunteer force like a bunch of guinea pigs and punishing you if you said no. They don't deserve to have a volunteer army anymore. And we'll get to that towards the end.
Yep. We'll finish this one off. Move on to the next one. It says, if the U.S. instills discipline, excellence, and provides an abundance of opportunities free of social politics, young people will begin to join again. The military shouldn't be brought under political scrutiny. Americans would do well to remember the Marine Corps motto, Semper Fidelis, always faithful to each other, our country, and the battles ahead.
Yeah. You guys know how I feel about the Marine Corps. They put out excellent 0311s in the beginning, but they treat their people atrociously. Their retention rates are in the toilet because literally they treat their guys like a walking wall of meat. I've seen it firsthand.
Bad news bears all around. Here's another reason why recruiting is so low. Why recruiting and confidence in America's armed forces is so low right now? The military has reached crisis levels of low recruitment. At the same time, America's public perception of the armed forces is increasingly divided. In a recent Gallup poll, only 60% of respondents said they had confidence in the U.S. military, the lowest level in over two decades. Matthew Galt, a writer for Vice, who covers the military, joins Ollie Rogan to discuss. And then they go through all this other stuff here. Let's see, what was one of them I saw here? Can't remember which one it was.
You're looking at the comments? They're nuts.
Well, this is just the transcript that they did for this one. I think this was it. Matthew goes on to say a lot of different things. One of that recruitment standards are pretty high. Pentagon estimates that only around 23% of youths aged 17 to 24 can meet the standards for the military. The reason why, they are all kind of over the place. Fitness standards that people can't meet. There's weird things like visible tattoos on the head or neck. The hands can often keep people kicked out. Past criminal records, no matter how minor, are also big ones now. Not talking about just marijuana, which is, you know, legal in many states, but will prevent you from joining if you pop the test. Also things that people take for their mental health, one being ADHD medication. If you have been on one stimulant in the past 24 months, you have to get a waiver and they don't want you to join.
Yes. And I have told lots of guys who wanted to enlist and I'm like, hey, are you taking any type of head meds? And they're like, yeah, I take ADHD. I have ADHD or whatever. I'm like, okay, well, stop taking that shit right away. Give yourself 90 days for it to leave your system. And when you show up to, you know, the recruiter, you don't say shit about it. You know, I mean, that's what you got to do. And I've lost a lot of guys who had minor, you know, scrapes with the law that, in my opinion, were just stupid. Like assault and battery, you know, a fight behind a bar. You know, it happened like 5 years before the dude wanted to enlist. They wouldn't take him. I mean, come on. They are ruining our military, and I believe they're doing it on purpose just by these stupid ass policies.
Speaking of stupid ass policies, that's not the right one. This is the one. Congress moves to scrap the ACFT sparks outcry from Army leadership.
Okay. Now, that's basically, that's the new PT test. I got out of the service before that actually came into being, though I fully support it for the simple reason is this. Combat is no joke. All right. First place you win. Second place is a hospital bed. Third place is the grave. And death comes so quickly. You have a fraction of a second to make decisions or take action. If you do the wrong thing, you quite literally could, you know, step into your eternal second, meaning that 1 second when that bullet hits you, which turns into eternity. It is serious business. I've had guys call into the show, send me emails, talk to me in person, who were RIs, Ranger instructors at Ranger School, and literally told me that these females who graduated Ranger School were held to a different standard. They were handled with kid gloves, and they're doing that now for the Special Forces community, Airborne community, the Rangers. Listen, I'm going to be honest. I've been to combat. If I show up at an infantry unit and I have a female commander that's a no, I will not take orders from that person. I refuse.
Please. Yeah, but if the Army were a TV show, this would be the end-of-season cliffhanger. Congress is seeking to kill the Military Combat Fitness Test, or ACFT, and revert to the service's previous fitness test, a move that, if successful, would surely draw the ire of senior leadership and confusion across the rank and file. This was from June 26th of this year, so this is not good.
Listen, I fought these battles. They have the female standards and they have the male standards, and they are radically different. Like some of these ladies at like 18, 19, they got to do what, 23 push-ups minimum? A dude's got a 17 to 21 olds, the old table. You wanted to get a go, you need to do a minimum of, I believe, 61 or 62 push-ups. That's almost three times as much as the female. And the running thing, literally some of these women get so much time for the 2 mile run, they could walk it and still pass. All right. When you're a young guy, you show up, you better be able to run in, if you want to pass, 15, 16 minutes. And that's a shitty score for a dude. Back in the day, a goal max was 11:54 2 mile run. I myself never ran that fast. The fastest I ever did the 2 miles was 12 minutes and 6 seconds, and I was 19 years old.
Yeesh. Yeah. On Friday, the Senate Armed Service Committee released its draft summary of the Multi-Pass National Defense Authorization Act, which sets funding for policy priorities for the Pentagon. The draft directs the Army to restore the previous Army Physical Test, or the APFT. On top of that, it would require the service to develop the test for 3 years, a move that would sideline graded fitness tests for a soldier's record, with 2 years for a pilot program and another year to finalize standards. It would be highly not recommended going back to the APFT. Sergeant Major of the Army Michael Grinstone told reporters Monday, "I equate this with going from the M4 back to the M16. I think it's unreasonable, and to me, it doesn't make any sense."
No, it doesn't.
No. The draft legislation is far from final, and it faces months of back and forth negotiations between House and Senate, as well as the Army and other stakeholders, before the final bill is sent to the president's desk for his signature. Army leaders and their staff were not consulted on the provision, according to the service.
Yeah, and you know, anything they put before the dictator in chief, he's going to sign it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And listen, this is doing nothing but making the service look like a bunch of clowns. No wonder the young people out there, they don't want to have anything to do with the service. They literally want you to have these astronomically, you know, high standards just to get in, and they pay you less than a dude flipping burgers at McDonald's. Think about that. You will not out-earn a burger flipper with military pay until you've been in the service 4.5 to 5 years if you get promoted to like E4 or E5. It's shameful. It really is. You know, and oh, all right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Drink your whiskey, man. Drink your whiskey.
Yeah, I'm there.
But, well, seeing how is we have all these people not being able to pass military standards and whatnot and recruiting so low, will there be a draft in 2024?
Well, here's the thing. Okay. I looked at some of the old draft plans back in the day because, listen, there are op orders or situational write-ups for all kinds of crazy stuff, like huge natural disasters, nuclear war, civil war, invasion of the homeland and stuff like that. And quite literally, if it gets bad enough, they will go down to 16 years old to draft you and go all the way up to 60. You're seeing it happen in real time in the Ukraine. Every dude, every swinging dick from 16 to 60 is getting earmarked and sent to the front. And you want to know why that is? Because we men are completely expendable when it comes to the big muscle movements in the world. And that speaks volumes.
Yep. And they're including all the swinging dicks over there in Ukraine, even the ones that put on a dress and say they're a woman.
That's right.
So, yeah. So even if you say, "Oh, I'm not a man. I'm a chick with a dick." Yeah. Sorry. Here's your rifle. Here's your boots. To the meat grinder with you.
You can go up to the front line and wear a dress. I could care less, but you're going.
Yeah. Come on, clinger. The United States is one of the largest and strongest militaries in the world. By the end of 2021, there was about 1.2 million active personnel in the Army. However, with such a large, powerful military comes controversy with its personnel and policies. One of these controversial topics involves the U.S. draft. In the last event of a military draft, the debate continues if there should be women included in said draft.
I say yes.
Yes.
If they wanted equality, they should fucking get equality.
Yep. Last year, the NDAA balked on this topic and had this decision delayed another year. So what's the controversy? Will a military draft in 2023 happen? What are the options to change the current policy? Well, here is your guide. Well, we all know what the draft is. We all know how the military draft... Refusing a draft notice can have severe penalties. Most of the time includes jail time. One of the most famous cases of this was Muhammad Ali during the Vietnam War, where he was drafted into the U.S. military. However, he refused to serve in the military and said because of this, suffered big consequences. During the initial period of refusal, Ali was hit with a 5-year prison sentence in order to pay a fine of $10,000.
And they stripped him of his title.
Yep.
He was the heavyweight champion of the world at that point.
Yep. On top of this, he was suspended from boxing and stripped of his title belt. While normal individual may not have the same consequences as a famous boxer, they can still expect to serve time in prison and pay a hefty fine if they refuse the call.
Yeah. In regards to Muhammad Ali, that was intentional. They were basically busting his balls because he became a Muslim and he was like very, very outspoken in the media. So they were trying to knock him down a few pegs, and he said, "No, you can kiss my ass. I'm not doing it." And I don't blame him. Nope, I mean, Vietnam was a shit show. It was going great in the beginning while Special Operations was in country doing what they do. But Big Army moves in, and then you get all of the idiots who run Big Army, and you get idiot results.
Yep. But who can't be drafted in the military? The most controversial topic of this slate of the 2023 Defense Authorization Bill is whether or not drafts should include women or not. Currently, the proclamation by Jimmy Carter all the way back in 1980 is the only legal enforcement of a draft on record. The record states that men need to register with the SSS. Yeah, that's with a one extra S, not the two S. Yep. Within 10 days of their 18th birthday. From there, if there ever is a draft, any man between the ages of 18 and 26 could be eligible.
Oh, check this out. All right. So this is how much of a stickler they are for that selective service registration. I enlisted in the Army at 17. All right. I went to basic, AIT, and I was in the goddamn Army when I got like a letter at 19 years old that I had not, you know, registered for the selective service. And I'm like, I'm already in the goddamn Army and I'm on the hook for 8 years. But okay, we'll play the game. And I went down there to the post office and filled out the goddamn, it's like back then it was like two postcards, you know, and quite literally, I'm like, when I got done with college, I couldn't even apply for federal jobs unless I had that little postcard from registering with Selective Service. So there are severe consequences even for the normal dudes out there who don't want anything to do with it. They can charge you with a felony. They can throw you in jail. They can turn your life into a redneck nightmare. They don't do that for women. Hell, they don't even go after women at all. And back in the day, the right to vote was linked to a man's having to serve in the military. Women get it for free. That is not equality. That needs to be fixed.
Yep. I would agree with you there. Where's the controversy here? Controversy here is the proclamation only includes men. There is no current requirement for women to register for the draft. Some people believe that women should be included in the proclamation to make it an equal draft, and that there have been debates for years on whether to change this proclamation. However, at the time of writing, the issue still remains at a standstill.
Yep. I don't know. So, this is insane.
Will there be a draft in 2023?
No. It's not that bad yet. Well, all right, what they're doing, and I just read I did a video today, and I sent it up the chain, but I got an email from a guy who was stop lost. He's a CW3. That's a chief warrant officer, third grade. And he flies helicopters. And they literally stop lost him for an additional 22 months. We are not at war. Okay. This is bad when they have to do that when we're not at war, because there's a little clause when you enlist that says needs of the service. So he's screwed. But they're doing that right now for critical jobs that are short and they don't have anybody to fill. They're stop lossing people. It is happening as we speak.
Eesh. Making my skin crawl, and I'm not even going to be part of this. Ugh. But others look at compromises that can be seen, see some sort of benefit for both sides. Take a closer look here. Keeping the proclamation the same. First option is on the table is to keep the proclamation as is and maintain the status quo, essentially meaning keeping possible draft exclusives to men and not just making any further decisions on this proclamation for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Somebody needs to file some serious lawsuits over this. That is so unfair. Now, listen, I have two daughters. They're in the age range of getting drafted. All right. But it is what it is. They want to be strong and independent and, you know, toe that feminist line. Well, guess what? With equal rights come equal lefts. And that's just the way it is. That's the harsh reality on the ground.
Yep. Second one here would be suspend draft registration. Another alternative that is on the table is to temporarily suspend any draft registration policies that were on the table in the first place. This would be somewhat of a compromise compared to the first option because it means the current proclamation would not be in effect. However, some would argue that the proposal would also mean dragging feet when it comes to making a final decision with the issue. The reason that for this draft, eventually, a decision would have to be made on whether women would be eligible for a draft, possible draft.
Yeah, listen, back in the day, if they were going to draft women, I'd be like, okay, like they can work on hospital ships. They could, you know, do all kinds of other jobs that are not frontline fighting. I don't have a problem with women serving in that capacity at all. Women can fly fighter jets and helicopters just as good as dudes. The more power to them. But, you know, when it comes to the actual dudes on the ground who have to carry all that crap and deal with the horse shit of actual frontline combat, I'm sorry, women are not built for that mentally or physically. Just saying.
Yeah, we'll end this one out with ending the draft registration. Last but not least, an option that is on the table for this situation is to end the draft registration entirely. Truthfully, enforcement of the current draft laws is rare, so the proclamation would not be missed. On top of this, going this route would allow every citizen of the United States the freedom to avoid a potential draft. Out of all the options presented here, this one has an argument for both sides. While women would not be called to duty in the same way as men, this option would achieve the accomplishment of having no legal right to require military service from any citizen.
Well, here we go with that. Listen, if this recruiting shortage goes on for another year or two, they are going to have to seriously consider having a mandatory 2 years of service when you get done with high school. All right. Now, they did that back in the day. And it didn't work out too well. In Vietnam, when they were, you know, drafting you right out of high school, the quality of those troops was atrocious. And I know a lot of guys who got drafted into the general infantry, and it was an absolute shit show. It was so bad that they, like, I need to get out of here. And they would volunteer for long-range reconnaissance patrols on the ground in the jungles of Vietnam, which was insanely dangerous. And when you talk to these men why they did that, they like, I like the quality of men that I was serving alongside. They weren't like minimum doer idiots that were basically the draftees, because they don't want to be there. They're just clocking their time to get to the 2 years so they can get out. I don't blame them for that at all. I'm just saying there's a big difference in performance between an all-volunteer force and a draft army.
Yep. And usually one of the two things happens to bring better commanders and leadership.
Oh, shit!
One of Pop's favorite things to talk about. Toxic commanders.
Shocker.
This comes from Major Ruth Van Dyke, U.S. Army retired. I was one of the first women to serve in combat arms in the units in 1980s with service in Germany and Korea. The opportunity to build and lead great teams also, and to learn from commanders from the brigade level up through four-star headquarters. I saw far too many examples of counterproductive or toxic leadership. Thankfully, I experienced even more example of positive leadership in my 22-year Army career. So, before outlining effective coping strategies, I need to explain my definition of counterproductive leadership. Counterproductive leadership may display the following behaviors that destroy trust relationships, which are essential for building cohesive teams. They bully or demean subordinates or peers who disagree with them.
That is very common. They did it to me many times, and I don't care.
Yep. They are narcissists who do not see or care about the impact of their decisions or actions, so long as the unit gets results and accomplishes the mission.
No. What they're saying there is these people will do anything to get a good OER, which is an officer evaluation report, so they can go up the chain. I've seen them ruin units, destroy the personnel around them just to make themselves look good. It is absolutely horrific.
Yeah. They refuse to listen to the recommendations of the subordinates, then cast blame when their plan falls apart.
Yep.
Soldiers sometimes conflate a tough, standards-based leader with being toxic or counterproductive. A leader who displays these behaviors is not counterproductive. They set and enforce exact standards for themselves in the unit. The embody of the army values and make unpopular decisions by choosing the harder right over the easier wrong. They do their best to meet the interest of their higher level commander, even that if the commander is a counterproductive leader. So if you are on the receiving end of a counterproductive leader, you should consider requesting to move to another position before you receive an evaluation.
Correct. And that's hard to do. It's really hard to do.
We'll just go through her cliff notes here. She says, keep a record. Keep a journal with the date, time, situation, and actions taken by the counterproductive leader.
Yep.
It's good stuff.
This is like administrative violence, military style. I had to do all this shit.
Yeah. And she says, take it up the chain. Unfortunately, the counterproductive leader's behavior did not change, and I felt obligated to speak with the brigade commander. Although the brigade commander directly addressed the most egregious offenses, he told me I was too valuable to the organization for him to let me leave.
Yep. I've had many officers who were fairly good get out of the service because of toxic leaders above them that just, you know, stepped on their necks. And they're like, you know what? It's not worth the frustration. They're not paying me enough. I'm fucking out. And I don't blame them.
Literally pulled the fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Yeah. You cool. Pointed at you, Pop, and fuck you, I'm out.
Well, no, I had a first lieutenant commander when I was in the 9th ID who gave no fucks. He literally went to ROTC, and then he had to do 4 years in the Army. He didn't care. So we, you know, there's all kinds of bureaucracy and paperwork. He was having none of it. This guy was a legend. He would pull out an ink stamp thing, put his penis in it, and then put it on the sheet of paper and go give it to the commander. And I remember giving the commander, he's like, no, sorry, Pop, this is an ink. What is it? What is this? I go, that's lieutenant's penis. You get him in here right now. That guy was a legend, man. A legend. Yeah. Of course, you know, I was only my commander for like 8 months, and then he moved him somewhere else because he was just not having it.
Now that's good leadership right there.
Oh, no. I wouldn't say he was a good leader, but, he was okay. And the thing that made him okay is he cared about the troops. Like, he wouldn't walk us until we die. He wouldn't, like, make us do, like, you know, above and beyond crazy shit. You know, after we would do like really hard stuff, he was the first one like, hey, you okay? You need some medic? What's going on? He was really good in that regard. Most officers don't do that. You are nothing but a walking robot, and they will use you to punch their ticket to go up the chain. Plain and simple.
Yeah. And she, Major Roof finishes it up here with, lastly, you might want to ask why you should put yourself at risk to address counterproductive leadership. Find inspiration in the famous Pilio quote, if I am not for myself, who will be for me? If I am only for myself, what am I? And if not now, when?
Correct. And listen, when I got mobilized to go to Iraq in 2004, the company commander, in my opinion, was a moral coward. In battle, he was okay, but he was a moral coward. All right. He wanted all of the senior NCOs one night to falsify a bunch of RTEPs, which is basically you go to the field, you do a bunch of tasks, and they keep track, and it becomes like a formal document. And we're like, ah, we're recreating it. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, we've never done this. We've never done that. I'm like, I'm not doing it. I am not going to put my name to any report that is not accurate and true. Because if one of these dudes gets zeroed out, I am not living the rest of my life in guilt and shame because I didn't say anything. And I'm talking an entire airborne infantry unit was put directly into Iraq after they fired roughly 120 blanks and about 60 to 90 live rounds out of their weapons. They were never trained on crew serve weapons. That, you know, we didn't use hand grenades. We didn't go through the, the light demo course you're supposed to do. We didn't do any of that. And he lied to get us put directly into Iraq. And after I mobbed at Bliss, we're supposed to go to Kuwait for 2 to 3 weeks to touch up our training. We left Fort Bliss, flew directly into Iraq. And when we rolled out that front gate of Anaconda to go to Abu Ghraib, I had guys on crew serve weapons that didn't work. Some dudes were like literally terrified because they were not trained properly. That is the toxic shit that happens if you don't say something. So what I did, as soon as I got on the ground in Iraq, I wrote an unofficial after-action report. I gave it to a friend of mine who was doing his last few years at the Pentagon, basically aiding the Inspector General office out of the Pentagon. And I had him put that on Rumsfeld's desk. And it caused a bunch of shit and basically made sure that I would never get promoted again. But it had to be done. Somebody's got to fall on the sword, man. That's just the way it is.
Yep.
All right, sorry, I went off on a tangent.
Whiskey, Pop, whiskey. Speaking of whiskey, I actually probably should go get a beer for this one because even just reading this one.
What is it?
We just had a
God.
Judge vacate desertion conviction for a former U.S. soldier captured in Afghanistan.
All right. So if you don't know the backstory on this guy, all right, I don't know what's going on in his thinking meat, but one evening he just walks out into, you know, the city and said, fuck it, I'm done. I don't know what the hell this guy was thinking. Well, it is really big in the U.S. military that we do everything in our power not to leave a man behind. All right. Especially back then, they were sawing people's heads off on camera and Al Jazeera was televising it. So they're all like, oh shit, we lost the guy. Ah, 6 dudes got killed to bring this guy back. 6 men lost their lives to try to save this deserter. He needs to be retried, and I hope he rots in fucking prison. And if that doesn't happen, I hope he catches a nasty fucking cancer, and he lives out the rest of his life to 100 years old in unmitigating fucking pain. That's how much I hate this son of a bitch. All right, sorry. I'm drinking. Yeah, we'll
burn through this one real quick, because even make my fist itch. Scratched on someone's face. Federal judge on Tuesday vacated military conviction of Bo Bergold, a former U.S. Army soldier who pleaded guilty to desertion after he left his post and was captured in Afghanistan and tortured by the Taliban.
So he pled guilty, and they still overturned his conviction. Okay. Yeah.
The ruling from U.S. District Judge Reggie Walton in Washington says that military judge Jeffrey Nance, who presided over the court-martial, failed to disclose that he had applied to the executive branch for a job as an immigration judge, creating potential conflict of interest. Oh, no, we don't got judges doing that nowadays, now, do we? No, totally not.
They do that on the regular, man.
Well, it's not like Hunter Biden got his... tax thing got thrown out. Oh, did I say that out loud?
That's fairly accurate. That
Walton noted that former President Donald Trump had strongly criticized Bergdahl during the 2016 presidential campaign. Bergdahl's lawyers argued that Trump's comments placed undue command influence on Nance. Walton rejected the specific argument surrounding undue command influence, but he said a reasonable person could question the judge's impartiality under the circumstances.
Okay, whatever. That's a bunch of word salad. The dude's a moral coward. What can I say? Fuck that guy. Listen, I'm getting so mad. I just keep dropping all these F-bombs. I'm drinking whiskey. This is not going to go well. Sooner or later, Bad Pop's going to take over the wheel, and it's going to get really ugly.
We'll turn the heat down from a boil to a simmer here.
All right, hang on. We're 53 minutes into this. What's the next article?
Just going to go through the renaming of the bases, and then definitely want to share this one because MGTOW Mando sent this one to the Gilded. And
all right, yeah, let's go to MGTOW Mando. We'll cover the bases.
All right, yeah, but Fort Cavazos, formerly known as Fort Hood, and I will be continuing to call it Fort Hood.
Yep.
Soldiers have been without proper access to food for months. One of the Army's largest bases has been barely able to keep food in its services up and running for months, according to soldiers stationed there in the dining facility scheduled reviewed by themilitary.com.
I'm gonna tell you, when I moved out of Fort Bliss, we had to go to Fort Drum for about a week and a half, and the food was atrocious back then. We got raw, undercooked chicken and pork all the time. But we could wash it down with piping hot orange juice that was mixed with water they should have been making coffee with. That's how hot that crap was. The milk was basically 2 years out of expiration date. The bread had mold on it. This is like food you give convicts. That's how bad it was. If you eat raw pork, you are running a serious risk of catching serious parasite illnesses that are no joke. Some of them can make you blind. So I am not shocked at all that, Bliss and Drum are dropping the ball and basically shitting the bed and wiping their ass with the sheets when they leave, because they were doing it back then in 04 and nothing has changed.
Shocker. But yeah, when Mando sent this one over, he says he just about went nuclear about it.
Yeah,
so I was like, all right, yep, we gotta cover this sometime.
There's several things that you don't fuck with, and one of those is a soldier's food. All right. Mm-hmm. That is the number one thing that you need to put before these guys is food. Now, I understand if you're in a combat situation or in an austere environment. Okay, things happen. You're not going to get top of the line stuff or even medium line stuff. They're going to just get you what they can get you to keep you fed. I understand that. But when you're in garrison, and you can't even feed your soldiers, that is a screaming red flag that the people in charge of that post are incompetent, from the sergeant majors down and the officers down. Fuck them.
That seemed appropriate.
Yep. Thank you.
I said, the base has only two of its 10 major dining options open every day for much of the summer, with three others open only during limited times. Mm-hmm. Soldiers forced many soldiers to drive long distances across base, sometimes an hour round trip for their meals. They are not getting compensated for gas and time and money lost.
Yeah.
Not all junior soldiers have vehicles, and the base provides only a limited shuttle service, with none dedicated to dining facilities. Service is so limited that some service members interviewed by military.com didn't even know it exists.
Yeah. Now listen, if it was me and that shit was going on, I would literally have a hot plate in my barracks food in a fridge and I've cooked my own goddamn food. Yeah, but they pay you shit. Listen, as an E1 to E4, they pay you shit. All right. And they want you to pay for gas and all the stuff so you can move around to these dining facilities. That's not how it works. All right. Like I said before, the people running that post are incompetent. There's no other explanation for it.
Nope. I'd have to say so. As one soldier says, for months, one dining facility was open and was more than a 30-minute drive from our soldiers, said a NCO who spoke to military.com on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to talk to the press. All the soldiers were going to that one. It's unmanageable during the workday.
Yep.
Yeah. In some situations, the base posted conflicting schedules or confusing guidance on what meals were being provided at which facilities. One facility had a sign on the door stating that it was closed for dinner, but it didn't note which specific days it was closed or days when other meals were not available. Base officials also did not post updated dining facility schedules on social media, although two of the base's dining facilities, Iron Horse and Patriot, were reopened in the past week, which should start alleviating traffic jams and logistical hurdles and providing more access to meals for soldiers.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Listen. Okay. I've eaten shit food in the Army. I've eaten awesome food in the Army, but most of the time it's mediocre. All right. And it's okay. It's not bad. All right. Now, let's just go down the list here. Why we can't meet our recruiting goals here. We have very high standards to get in. So you want the cream of the crop to pay them sub wages that, they don't even equal a burger flipper for about 5 years. Okay. They've taken away the pension because, let's face it, military pay, you are not ever going to put aside enough money to have a, you know, $2 or $2.5 million fund, which you can live on until the day you exit this earth. It's not going to happen. So they got rid of that. All right. We have the colleges out there with all of their financial aid, scholarships, grants. These people, like the GI Bill is really an afterthought now, unless you want to go to trade school. So that's gone. All right. Then you have a volunteer force that you disrespect. You treat them like guinea pigs. All right. And then with all of that, they have to deal with incompetent, toxic leaders all the way down to the E5 level, because a lot of the people in the service now who hold the rank of E5 and above, unless they're SOCOM or, you know, 0311 in the Marines, they're diversity hires. And I hear all kinds of horror stories about these incompetent bastards. All right. It's happening left and right. And I think they want this on purpose. I think they're doing this on purpose to ruin our military. Straight out. I mean, straight up. I mean, come on.
Yep. I would have to fully agree with you on that one there, Pop. Because all these coincidences just don't happen for, you know, on accident.
Yeah.
We'll go ahead and burn through this one, then we'll jump into the super chats.
Well, hang on. All right, so I'm going to just write a little schematic here about leadership and how it works. All right, so you got your enlisted guy, right? And then you have your ROTC, and then they go to OCS. Then you have West Point and other professional dick sucker schools. That's this we'll just call them. All right. So, and of course they have, you have the Mustangs, which that stands for an enlisted guy who drops a packet, goes to OCS, and becomes an officer. All right. So you have the West Point types are literally handled with kid gloves. All right. They get the best assignments. They're, you know, basically coddled on their OERs all the way up to captain. Right. So you got these guys, they go into service, right? And they get, you know, basically tier one treatment. Then you have the OCS guys who went to ROTC. They're right behind them. Okay. And then you have the Mustangs. All right. They don't respect you. They treat you like shit because, you know, you there's some kind of culture that you're not officer material. Despite the fact that they did their time on the fucking ground, they know all the horse shit that the enlisted have to suffer. And all, like, most of the great officers I've ever served with were Mustangs. All right. I can't tell you how many pieces of shit who came from West Point. I have no idea why we waste all that tax money using a system that was basically cooked up in the Revolutionary War in the early 1800s. I don't give a shit if you were a captain on your football team. I don't care who your fucking father was. All I care about in today's day and age, you're calm, collected. You know how to lead troops from the front and by example, which is exceedingly rare. I did those two things and it got me hated by a lot of my incompetent commanders and so forth. All right. So these guys basically go in because they want to be leaders. All right. They think being an officer is a leader. Well, it can be. All right. So they spend like, 18 months, sometimes 24 months at the platoon or section level. Okay. And then, you know, they get picked or if they get promoted up the chain, all right, if you get passed over twice, you know, in the military system, usually you're done. That you as an officer, you're done. Okay, so, all right, so they do that. And then they do this thing called staff. All right, so these dudes are in the service maybe 3 years. Then they get, you know, they get put in staff. First lieutenants go to staff, captains, and they get promoted to captain and staff. But what they don't tell you is a very small percentage becomes company commanders, okay? And even less become battalion commanders, and so on and so on, all right? So you have a glut of officers at the staff level who want to go up the chain. Well, in that environment, well, you're going to have to kiss ass and suck dick. Straight up. All right. If you don't want to, you know, if you don't play those games, you're going to get retired as a major. Or if you are a mediocre officer, maybe lieutenant colonel. All right. Now, if you're a Mustang officer and you retire a lieutenant colonel, that is one hell of an accomplishment. Because usually they select you out at major because they look down on you, which that needs to be fixed. So what you get here is you get a bunch of these officers who get selected for company commander, and they have the staff, and they're all about, you know, dick sucking and kissing ass. So they're basically yes men. So they only tell these commanders what they want to hear, and it produces all kinds of bad outcomes, dare I say, incompetent decisions and behavior. All right. And they start like the dick suckers here. They put these commanders in for all kinds of awards that, in my opinion, they didn't deserve. They got awards for, you know, warming a seat. If you're in a combat zone and a commander, usually they get you a bronze star and you don't even leave the goddamn wire. All right. So now you have all these incompetent people going up the chain and their staff at battalion level as well, and every officer or commander has a staff. It's all based off of the Napoleonic model. And this incompetence, this dick-sucking, and yes, men, guarantee the guys way up here, the colonels and generals, have literally been getting their ass kicked for two-thirds, and their ass kissed for two-thirds of the military career. They really don't keep officers around them that tell them the truth. You know, a good officer will, because guess what? it's not all champagne and rainbows and roses in the military. Sometimes you got to tell the dude in charge the truth. And a lot of times, if you do that, you're going to get a bad OER, and you're not going to advance up the chain. So it's literally, it's no surprise to me that we have this huge glut of officers up here, which are incompetent. Excuse my spelling. I have dyslexia. I'm a dyslexicist. That's how it works. So if you want to be a leader of dudes, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get 18 months to 24 months at the beginning. You're going to rot in staff for up to 12 to 15 goddamn years, only if you get promoted up the chain, meaning you make captain and you make major. But somewhere they're going to have to select you for company command. If they don't, you're pretty much pigeonholed. That is how fucked up this whole thing is. And it's messed up because of a horrific model for selecting and training officers, incompetence, and all of these officers are terrified they're gonna get a bad OER. Because guess what? If you get a bad OER, more times than not, as an officer, your career ends. All right, I'm sorry, you got me off on a tangent here. All right, let's cover.
Okay, some- man. Yeah, we got some super chats here. Let's see, jumping over to YouTube here. I like this screen name, The Pimped Out Platypus. $5 says, I thought tech was going to make the infantry obsolete in World War One. We saw how that went. Mm-hmm. There is no replacement for boots on the ground.
There is not.
Nope. Got a Alex Patino here with $10. It says, correct me if I'm wrong, but ever since the first savage barbarians got together to raid or defend an army is an organization where real men join in order to fight. That's why I served.
That's why I served as well. Because if the flag is going to go up, they don't have to come find me. I'll be waiting at the fucking gate.
Yep. It's got our other fellow Shaggy over here, Shaggy Sunshine, with $5. Says, long story short, I almost joined the military in 20. I'd serve under Trump. So fecking glad I didn't. That plan didn't happen. Like I said, long story.
Yeah, I don't blame you, bro.
Yeah. Got Alex Patino here again with $10. He says, hey, Pop, you remember the soldiers are paid BAS or basic allowance for subsistence. And even if you don't eat at the DFAC, you are a single soldier in barracks, and the post takes away the BAS anyway.
Yes, they do. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Got a Sean St. George here. He says, I think it's time for prior enlistment requirements for new officers.
Yes. Listen, they need to start doing that. You go into the enlisted ranks, you find those hard chargers who got promoted up to sergeant relatively quickly because they know what they're fucking doing, and pull them aside and go, hey, bro, we're going to make you an officer. Everything's paid for. You know, let's do this. Because what they're doing now is absolutely atrocious.
Certainly isn't working, and we're just going backwards. So got a Assassin of the Gray with $10. He says, for sergeant, they likely want to force out all patriotic Americans so they can get diversity hires who will open fire on undesirable American citizens when ordered without hesitation.
And that's actually happening.
That would be a fair assessment because we had what was her name? Corporal Carpet Muncher.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Saying, if we tell you to go inside, you go inside. And then turns out she was a driver.
88 Mike, yeah. But, you know, they're like, I know one guy, he's a master sergeant. They basically medically retired him for basically no reason. A lot of E7s are getting kicked out because they don't want to play this touchy-feely game. And literally, they're flushing all of that experience from 20 years of war right down the toilet.
But it'll be fine, right? Right.
What can go wrong? Fuck. This is so infuriating.
jump over to MGTOW.TV, and the man himself is in the chat, the only one doing super chats here. MGTOW Mando, he's got three in a row here. Says, first one is, if Transformers are allowed to serve openly, the draft must be both genders, or else it's discriminatory.
He's absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. He also says, when stationed on Hood, the food was awful, but at least there was a good supply. You never fuck with rations, mail, or minimal shelter when, not in the field.
Correct. Anywhere. You're in garrison and they mess with your food, that's a no.
That's an instant beat on sight.
Yeah, you're going to.
Yep. And his third one here says, when I was there, Iron Horse was being investigated for mold issues.
Shocker.
I can understand why this one spun you up quite a bit there, good sir. and he doesn't get spun up at all. He's the calm, cool, collected guy. And he's like, I just about went nuclear. And I was like, that's not good.
Yep.
Need to talk about that. All right. Jumping over to Odyssey here. Looks like we just got one from Chief Geekabitch of the Slapahoe Nation. He says, McNamara's morons will be back.
I can't tell you how many times I had officers actually go, hey, Sergeant Pop, you know, you're that guy that should be behind glass, then there should be a sign that says only break in case of war. And I'm like, that's a horrible attitude to have, because every mother effer here needs to be exactly like me if you want to win. And that's exactly how I forged and trained my troops. All of them.
Hell yeah. Pretty sure every single gentleman in this chat and around the world would have loved to serve under you, Pop.
Well, let's put it this way. Some of the individuals that were in the chain of command when I got deployed to Iraq were lividly pissed at me because of what I did, because it made a lot of them look stupid, because they're officers. They're supposed to step up and you know, fix shit, and they didn't. And so this is about a decade after, and I ran in a couple of these guys at the VFW post I hang out at, and I looked them in the face and go, listen, I know you're pissed at me, but war is not going to go away, and in the future or near future, you're going to have to box up your children, your grandchildren, and send them into the maw cold war. Now, who do you want to look out for your loved ones? You know, a shitbag officer and NCOs, or a sergeant such as I? And they literally, like, they knew, you know, when it's the real deal and your loved one's on the fucking chopping block, they want to have that NCO who will run top cover for them, you know, go to great lengths to make sure that they don't fucking die needlessly. And, you know, I mean, literally, I would move the moon and the stars for my guys. And I got in a lot of trouble for doing it all the time, but I never stopped, ever.
Ugh. News bears, man. All right, let's see here. Looks like I got one from LUCard 1776 on Odyssey. Says, I'm prepared to be in jail, then be drafted.
I understand.
Yep. So, and jumping over to Rumble, just so that I know it's not going to fuck over on me like it usually does. I got Steve OUK with $2. He says, when I was AD Air Force, I ran my annual fit numbers on the female scale and reported that as well. Every female SNCO slash officer got upset at that as it was objective proof of the double standard.
Yeah. Yeah. I did the same thing. I was always bitching about that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I always bitched about that, especially when one of these minimalist female soldiers would get promoted over a hard charger. I just made me furious.
It's got Professor Blake Poo Ass Blaster 3000. Good screen name. Always gets me. It says, Is it worth joining the military? I thought about the Air Force. I am thinking as a last resort.
That's what it should be. The last resort now. All right. Air Force, they're a lot more lenient on a lot of things and stricter on some stuff. But if you go in the Air Force, I would pick something that you can turn into a career. Same thing if, with the Navy. All right. The Navy's really good at, you know, you can pick up stuff like HVAC, woodworking, metalworking. You know, a lot of the blue-collar trades are in the Navy. So.
Yep. It's got Cliff3188 here. Says, once I got served moldy mac and cheese and got sick. No surprise there. Then I got salmonella poisoning from undercooked chicken and had to get my stomach pumped.
I'm not laughing at your pain. But I've seen that. I've literally, like, we sat down, we ate at the show hall, we walk out, within a half an hour, people are pulling over their vehicles. I mean, it was just disgusting.
It finishes it off here. I wouldn't file a complaint if I got separate rats. I got them. All right, let me just jump back through the chats here, make sure I'm not going to miss anybody. It doesn't look like it. We are all clear.
Are we good?
I think so. So, all righty, Pop.
All right.
Final thoughts for the evening.
All right. So this is what I'm getting at here. This mind woke virus that we have going on that's basically overtaking our civilization is destroying everything. It's destroying the family. It's destroying the rule of law. It's destroying our cities. It's destroying our basically our food plants, traveling, gas. We are being intentionally destroyed from within. In my opinion, it's happening because the people in charge have sold the fuck out. Period. We're going to probably have to take some steps to, you know, try to fix this. However that plays out, I have no idea. I'm going to get out of the way, and I'm not going to participate because my ass is old now. All right. Now, we're going to have the after party. At the after party, please have a minimum of headphones with the speaker so you can interact. You don't necessarily need a camera. All right. We get a lot of people who want to try to come in. We can only have 12 because I have the medium package. So you come in, we'll talk to you for a few minutes, maybe, you know, five. You say what you got to say, and we got to rotate somebody else in because there's a lot of people out there that have actual legitimate questions. And, you know, I'm here to help you guys out, man. I'm not in this for the money. You know, I'm just sick of burying you sons of bitches.
Yep. And if you have joined an after party before, try to keep the lines open for the guys that, you know, want to come on in and whatnot and hang out and have a good time. So we, like Pop said, we'll try to get you guys rotated in and out. So bear with us. We'll try to get you guys in there. So I think we will, let me just do one quick double check of the chats just so I'm not going to make sure I'm not missing anything here.
Yep.
But I think.
Let me check the inbox. Hang on.
I think we are.
All right. No Cash App, nothing like that. All right, cool.
Yep. All righty. We are good. So, gentlemen, we will see you on Sunday for the supporter stream.
Boom.
Take it easy.